The Doug and Wolf Show.
The next 4 hours of your life will be outstanding wherever you are if you keep listening to The Doug and Wolf Show.
You're calling your shot.
I'm
right
calling my shot on today's show.
Doug Franz, Ron Wolfley.
You know that's good radio.
Oh, yeah.
Doug and Wolf, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Last one, the one here on a Friday morning. Luke Kupinski, Max Starks in for Doug and Wolf. Busy show for you today. We got a lot going on, Max.
Yes, we do.
You are fired up for this weekend. I can tell. You came in with a look on your face that said, I'm fired up for this weekend.
I am so excited for this weekend. You know what's even more exciting is that the consolation game I'm more excited for than the actual championship game, even though I am excited for the championship game because it's pretty much what could have been. Two teams likely that could have been in the finals from the semifinals. So watching Belgium and England looks pretty cool.
I feel like you are more into the World Cup than any other American I know.
No? I can find a couple of Americans, but that you know.
But I might not know them.
Yeah, you might not know them. So I think that's a fair assessment. But I am pretty excited. It's gonna be a great weekend. I mean, tennis, Serena, a 25 seed.
Yeah, I don't understand how tennis seeding works.
10 months ago, she was like 180. That was her seed.
180 consecutive wins?
No.
Is that what she was at?
Yeah, and she battled her way back from that. I mean, I don't think there's a greater athlete right now of our time than Serena Williams as far as dominance and success. I can't think of one. I mean, I can get some closers, you know, some people that are close, but Serena by far and away. Longevity, success, and just absolutely dominant.
I think I could do 4 consecutive hours with Loverboy playing in the background.
No question. I mean, it puts you in a happy place.
It makes you, it's all the emotions rolled into one.
Yeah, it is. Because you're working hard for the weekend.
You are.
We're on the precipice of that.
And then you realize everybody else is also working for the weekend. So it's like a unifying thing.
It honestly is like Hands Across America.
It's basically where Hands Across America came from, I'm sure.
It stemmed from Loverboy.
Everything does. It is time now for the starting five.
And now, it's time for your Arizona Sports Starting Five. You can't go to work without knowing these 5 huge stories. Here's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley.
How many times in a row have we been introduced as Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley? It's starting to give me a complex.
Yeah, I know. And to jock jams at that.
Well, I mean, the musical selection here is just one. The hits just keep coming.
They keep coming.
Number 5.
Secretly, this is why you're really excited, Max.
Yeah,
because
I am.
Today is the Arizona Sports debut of the Arizona Sports ESPYs.
That's right. And guess what? It is us picking those ESPYs.
I think, you know what? I'm not going to give too much away.
We may have
a little listener interaction. I don't know. But either way, you and I are going to be the judges.
But we're the main caveats in this.
Okay.
So we're the catalysts.
Here's a sampling.
Okay.
Of some of the categories. You don't know what these are.
No, I have no clue.
Either. This is the first time I've read these words.
I know. You're looking at them live on the screen.
Most memorable quote. These are just Arizona stories.
This is Arizona only.
Best athlete. Most memorable exit. Biggest trade. Biggest meltdown.
Yeah.
And that's just a few of the categories. So get ready for the Arizona ESPYs.
You're going to want to tune in.
Number 4.
We have a trade. Hockey trade in the middle of July. I think the Coyotes are...
Luke is so excited.
I mean, if you can't get fired up
He's bursting with excitement that he gets to talk hockey and it's relevant and he didn't have to make it up. Not like make it... You know what I mean? Not make it up, but you didn't have to like force hockey into the conversation.
That's true. I loved the reaction when it happened yesterday because there were so many pieces involved going back and forth. And so you look at it, you're like, well, the Coyotes just made a trade. They made a trade with the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks used to be good, even though they're terrible now. So obviously this is huge. I don't know if it's really that big.
On the surface, it sounded good when you just say the teams involved.
Yeah.
And you don't really mention the people involved.
Then I realized the Coyotes and Blackhawks are kind of trading the same players back and forth, and they've been doing it for a while.
And that's the reason why. Never mind.
Basically, the Coyotes took on a cap hit, which they can do, And it's actually, I like the move. They've done this in the past. They don't have to pay the money, but they use up cap space. They get a team to give them some players to help that team out. That's essentially what happened.
The usually, when you're helping usually when you're in the point of being a good Samaritan, it's because you're that good, though.
Well, but they're getting something out of it. They got a couple players. They got Vinny Hinostroza, who they like, right-handed shot they can put up front, and they got a little bit of defensive depth. They've got so many defensemen now, they don't know what to do with them.
Exactly, but you need to score to actually win games.
Well, you know, that's very fair.
Yeah, you can't go into ties. Getting a bunch of ties is not going to get
you
anywhere.
I'll tell you what, if they still had ties in hockey, the Coyotes might be undefeated.
Yeah.
Number three.
Well, Shelby Miller to the DL. I don't think that's a surprise based off what we had heard yesterday and what we saw on Wednesday night.
Out of one inning, we could diagnose it. But, you know, it's a blow to this team, especially when you think they're already reeling from, you know, what we thought was a strength all season, and in 2 days, everything comes unraveled. Well, not 2 days, three games, because that 16-inning game is kind of what screwed up
the
entire pitch count for everybody. And you saw it reel its ugly head in the Rockies series.
It's, to me, nothing more than a reminder that you don't want to be a wild card team. You want to win the division.
Yeah, you want to have a series guaranteed.
That's what this feels like. This feels like that stretch at the end of last year. You play Colorado in the wild card game, and by the time you got to L.A., you were at like 50%. You get to the series
and
Colorado.
And you had no pitchers.
No, and they didn't even win the 16-inning game.
Yeah. That's like pouring salt in the wound at that moment.
TJ McFarland also to the DL. Zach Greinke is replacing John Lester in the All-Star game, so it'll be Greinke's fourth appearance. We talked earlier this week about how David Peralta is probably a pretty deserving All-Star candidate if somebody gets hurt, but it's got to be an outfielder that gets hurt. He's not going to pitch.
Exactly.
Although he has pitched.
He has. But you're not getting an All-Star nod for your relief pitching efforts.
Number two.
This was actually kind of disappointing. Watching the end of this game yesterday.
All the hype that we put into this leading up to it, what could have been, is now literally just a thought.
This is Igor Kokoschkov on the Suns' loss in the opening round of the Summer League tournament.
It was a whole game. We couldn't really find the rhythm. And the way we're practicing, the way we're playing, I mean, we couldn't find it.
I just sat there with a roller coaster of conflicting emotions, watching the Suns get eliminated by the 76ers, thinking to myself, you idiot, this is Summer League, who really cares? And then thinking to myself, I kind of care.
Yeah, exactly. The NBA accomplished their goal. They wanted to find somebody who cared, and they got Luke Lipinski.
But it's only because of what we've been talking about this week.
We've literally
because
set
of Ayton
the stage
and,
for this.
And all the pieces that the Suns have, and you know deep down they're not winning anything this upcoming season. So this is a chance to win something. At least win some games and go deeper into the tournament.
Or at least make it to the weekend.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Exactly. They did not channel their inner lover boy.
And for that, they paid dearly.
Yes, they did.
Speaking of paying dearly.
Number one. Numero uno.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, I thought it was kind of cute just keep going to Colorado and beating the Rockies. Now I'm kind of sick of the Rockies.
I'm actually upset at myself for even coining the phrase on this show, tap the Rockies.
I'm not sure they've won a game since then. No, they won that night.
They did win that night.
Yeah.
And then after that, it fizzled.
Then they tapped out.
Terribly. Yeah, they did. They got tapped out by the Rockies.
Tap the Rockies, then get tapped out by the Rockies. And they get to play the Rockies again in like a week coming out of the All-Star break.
Yeah, isn't that great?
They got 5 1/3 out of Robbie Ray.
He did everything he possibly could on a day where we needed somebody to step up and give the type of start we needed. And unfortunately, we didn't get a lot of offensive support. We had some opportunities. But, you know, got to give the Rockies credit. They hung in there. And when they had the opportunity, they took advantage of some key situations.
I'm not going to overreact. Yeah, I am.
Yeah,
let's
go ahead.
It's Friday morning. I'm here to overreact.
Yeah.
It's a little concerning they couldn't score at all in these last two games against Colorado.
Exactly.
Because it's in Colorado.
And they led in this game. For most of it. I mean, while Robbie Ray was in, Robbie kept them at zero. And then the sixth inning and the seventh inning happened. And the D-backs couldn't respond.
The bullpen is obviously the bigger concern, but you can point to a reason why. You can point to this weekend.
Yeah, we know where it stemmed from, and it's just crazy how it just manifested itself. Because you look at the game they had, game one in Colorado, and the way that they finished and looked good And then it's just games two and three. You know, you just saw the scrambling and it just almost helplessness. You lose two pitchers in the second game.
Yeah.
Essentially, you got two guys on DL because of that game. And the Rockies absolutely exploded. You're starting to use, you know, position players to come in and pitch. The position players look better than the pitchers you had in there.
That's never a good sign.
That's never a good sign. And then you got game three and Robbie Ray does what you want him to do. He carries you five and a third.
But he
got you through five and third innings.
He gave you something.
And there were scoreless innings.
Did you know you can get the Doug and Wolf Show on demand? Now you'll never miss any of the shows. So get the Doug and Wolf Show on demand on the Arizona Sports app, arizonasports.com, or just subscribe to the show on the Apple Podcast app on your iPhone. Brought to you this week by Arizona Cold Air. Coming up, the D-backs wrapped up a rough series at the Rockies, and they lost one of their starting pitchers in the process. We'll discuss that next. Luke Lipinski, Max Starks, in for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. We're live from the Octin Community Studios.
There we go.
Work that in there seamlessly and then point it out so it's not nearly as seamless.
Yeah.
It's called Lipinski. Broadcasting,
that's
kids.
Right. Yeah. Radio gold.
That's right.
Luke Lipinski, Max Starks in for Doug and Wolf here on this Friday morning. Following a D-back series loss to the Colorado Rockies, just when I start to feel like this team is on track, like I felt pretty good about them going into the Rocky series, even though they had kind of strung some losses together, but they were deceptive. Like they were hidden between 20-run outbursts and 16-inning game in there, so everything kind of just I blacked out.
It just got jumbled, and you're like, well, you know what? They still won the series.
Yeah. They still managed to split with San Diego, and not everybody can do that. And then you realize
that everybody can, and that's why they're not even in the playoff race.
Ever. So the Diamondbacks have now dropped 9 of their last 13. They did something similar to this last year going into the All-Star break. It's a little easier to see why they're slumping right now because the pitching is so beat up and pitching has been a strength for this team. Even when they were struggling in May, they at least had good enough pitching where they were staying in a lot of those games. They were just losing them all 3-1.
Yeah, they just didn't have the offensive output. It wasn't like they were getting blown out and guys were getting just tossed left and right from the pitching ranks. Now, pitching kept them in it, and pitching is what has held them up this whole first half, and then it's just absolutely disintegrating the last 3 days.
So last year going into the All-Star break, and look, they hit the All-Star break last year at 53-36, so still ahead of where they are now, but they had dropped 5 of 6, and they dropped 8 of 11 overall going into the All-Star break last year, and they got swept by the Dodgers, which obviously that always feels worse, but that was their run going in last year. As I mentioned, now they have dropped 9 of 13, 3 of the last 4. They've still got a series coming up with Atlanta. They're 51-43 right now. Atlanta's right there at the top of the NL East. They are probably, was it Bob Nightingale we had on yesterday?
Yeah, Bob.
That was his surprise team so far this year was the Braves. Look, I'll tell you what, like 3 weeks into the season, there was a Braves game on TV, and I thought to myself, oh, the Braves are still a baseball team. And now they're in first place in their division. Or I guess they're a half game back of Philadelphia. But this is still a big series.
That's pretty much like being in first place. Half a game?
Well, I'm glad you feel that way because the Diamondbacks then are pretty much still in first place, even though they're a half game behind LA now for first in the NL West.
Before they're actually going against the team that's a half.
Yeah.
Like the team, like literally the Braves could be number one by the end of this weekend.
Okay. So that's where we are now. I mean, it's July 13th. That's Friday the 13th.
Oh, hey, another hockey reference. There you go. It was a hockey mask.
Kind of.
It was a hockey mask.
Okay.
Right, listen, I'm trying to help you.
Hey.
You had nothing
all right
all the way up till today.
Let's talk
you
NHL
two,
free agency
you got
then.
Two since, things, yeah.
Since you want to bring up hockey mask, let's talk the top 20 goalies heading into the 2018-19 season.
Yeah.
But for now, we'll focus on the Diamondbacks, who
are
a half game back of the Dodgers for first in the West. Colorado is 3 back. San Francisco is 3 back of L.A. They're only both 2.5 back of the Diamondbacks. So it's going to be, as we expected now, a race for a while. It's a four-team race, and it doesn't look like anybody's dropping out. So you've got those four teams in the NL West, but this is why this series suddenly takes on even more meaning. If the season ended today, well, I'm going to have to do some crazy math on the air.
No, please don't.
I'm not going to do that.
Please
nobody
don't.
Wants that. But basically, you're fighting with Atlanta, among other teams, for a wild card spot. Now, I know you're only half game out. If you win tonight, Dodgers lose, you're back in first place, but that's how close it is. So this is now, this isn't just, hey, Atlanta's kind of a cool story over there on the East Coast. That's a team you are directly fighting with. If the season ended today, are you ready for this?
Okay, here it is.
This is complete garbage. If the season ended today, the Cubs and Braves would be the wild cards. Arizona wouldn't make the playoffs. Wow.
Let that sink in.
So, I mean, the team they are now, at this exact moment, chasing for a playoff spot is the Atlanta Braves, who they are playing starting tonight. Unfortunately,
three games.
Unfortunately, the Diamondbacks don't have any pitchers left.
They have no pitchers left.
This is not great. Great timing to play Atlanta, because these are games that you.
David Peralta
needs
you to warm that arm up, bud.
I mean, let's get Alex Avila back just in case.
Avila's our closer, though.
Are you? You look at the series now with the Rockies, and you mentioned this before. Yeah, you give up 19 runs on Wednesday. That's an anomaly. That's not something that's going to happen very frequently. I would hope. Ideally, never again.
Yeah, I hope never, ever again.
But you can point to the bullpen. You can point to all these different reasons why, okay, the bullpen is struggling because they're all pretty worn out. The starting pitching there for that a stretch over last weekend and into this week, they just weren't giving Torrey Lovello innings.
Yeah, Robbie Ray, I think, gave the most innings so far
of late.
It wasn't that much.
So are you concerned by that, or can you write that off, and then you're more concerned by the fact that, yes, it's only two games, but they scored three runs over the course of two games in Colorado.
In Colorado, and the number, just think about this. The number that was the difference, it was 24-3.
Yeah, I don't want to think about that.
But I'm just saying, so that's a glitch in Colorado. Where the ball flies, it literally has, you know, fluff in it, and it stays in the air. And
literally.
Yeah. Exactly.
Literally has fluff.
Yeah, literally has fluff. Or that stuff, that marshmallow, you know, that marshmallow that comes in a jar.
Oh, yeah, that stuff's disgusting.
Yeah, it is.
It's like a hard marshmallow.
Yeah, it is. It's like liquid concrete.
That's the best way to describe it, because it's everything that's good about a marshmallow taken away, and then it's just what's left over.
Yeah, it's like this is like the innards of a marshmallow.
It's disgusting. Yeah. So, but you've got Atlanta heading into the All-Star break, but then coming out, and I'm operating under the assumption the Diamondbacks just need to get to the All-Star break, catch your breath. Greinke and Corbin and Goldschmidt can go to the game. That's fine. I don't expect Corbin to pitch.
Corbin's not going to pitch.
They said Lovello said he's available, but just keep it to one inning if you do that. But I don't. With the way things are going,
I wouldn't even want him pitching.
No, because he's supposed to pitch Sunday for the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, so how could he possibly pitch in the All-Star game?
But either way, you get your entire bullpen rested up. You get your other starters rested up. At most, Greinke and Corbin will each pitch an inning, and that's somewhat unlikely. Hopefully I'm right on this, because when you come out of the All-Star break, you've got three at home against Colorado and four in Chicago against the Cubs.
And those are two teams that would be, you know.
I mean, Chicago's the first wild card right now.
They're the number one wild card, and Colorado's right breathing right down your neck.
Yeah.
And they're coming off of beating you in a series.
It's funny. We saw earlier this season Arizona sort of get themselves back on track by playing Colorado and scoring just a ton of runs. You're hoping that Colorado didn't just do the same thing. What was that series in early June where the Diamondbacks scored 29 runs against the Rockies in three games, and that really catapulted them forward? And Colorado just scored 27 runs in three games against the Diamondbacks. They've got Seattle heading into the break. Seattle's been pretty good, so we'll see. But they need to do something about the pitching. I know that we talked about this earlier this week, but when we were talking about it on Monday and Tuesday, it felt more like a conversation where this team's good. They're essentially fine. They look like a playoff team. Not that it's a luxury to go out and add pitching, but you're not in dire need of it. You just kind of have to do it to keep up with the other playoff contenders. Now they need pitching, preferably by tonight.
And then Mike Hazen happened, and he let us know that pitching is a priority. You know, we were talking about the Machado sweepstakes, and now it's come to fruition that it is very much a need, and you lost two guys in this series.
Yeah, I don't know how to gauge that, because
were they great? But it was you still had potential pitchers that are now not available to you.
You had guys you were counting on to play. I mean, with Buchholz out, you were counting on Shelby Miller to start at the very least a couple more games until Buchholz gets back. I don't think that was their ideal plan. If they could go out and add somebody, they would have anyway, but now you don't have either one of them.
Yeah, yeah. So now you now you've put stress on yourself even more to go out there and find quality, some quality pitching to add depth. And really, think about this. They need to add quality depth. It's not just depth.
Yeah, I don't just want to add players that can throw a baseball over home plate.
Yeah, exactly.
Some actual pitchers.
Because they could call us for that.
Yeah, I mean, I can get the ball over the plate.
I can get it over,
over the fence, too.
Yeah, I mean, I could softball toss it down there.
I like it.
Yeah, I mean.
Change things up a little bit.
A little granny style.
All right. We've now seen DeAndre Ayton for four games, so what are our takeaways? Doug and Wolf Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Welcome back. Luke Lipinski, Max Starks in for Doug and Wolf. The Phoenix Suns summer league is over, but not really over, but it's kind of over. It's basically over.
It's pretty much over just because of the fact that you're playing one more consolation game. Right?
I like to call it the next chapter in the Suns-Spurs storied rivalry. That's how I view this game this afternoon.
In summer league.
Yeah. No? Too much?
Definitely
a little too much hype. Okay,
way too much hype. Is Popovich coaching?
Is Kawhi Leonard playing?
Yeah, exactly.
You know they're both involved with USA Basketball, and that don't they have a mini camp at the end of this month?
Yes, they do.
That's going to be awkward.
It's really awkward if this guy is playing.
Because if he shows up and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm good enough to play for Team USA," and then 2 weeks later he hasn't been traded, and he's like, "You know, I'm suddenly hurt again. I can't play for the Spurs."
Like, you know that practice, that scrimmage we did, yeah. Coach. Yeah.
As it turns out,
Pop, I might have popped something.
Oh,
there we go.
I'm sure Popovich loves puns. He seems like the sort of guy that really laughs a lot.
He's a guy that I think reads limericks in his office.
Just sitting there doing Mad Libs and giggling like a schoolgirl.
Exactly.
All right. That's an image I don't need. So the Phoenix Suns are I was disappointed by that yesterday. DeAndre Ayton, he showed flashes a couple times. Okay. It's very early in its summer league. I get that. There are plays where if somebody gets him the ball, and some of that's on him to make sure he's in the right position, presenting himself as an open target to get the ball. But there are times when he gets the ball close to the basket, and you're just like, okay, well, they can't stop him. There's nobody that can stop him. And now, maybe when they get to the NBA, there will be guys that can stop him. I understand that. But in summer league, it felt like he should just be able to go for 26 points every game or whatever just on dunks and layups.
Yeah, just double-double.
Just dunks. I never want to see him lay it up. Just dunks.
Yeah, just dunks. Well, when you're that close to the rim, you might as well just
reach
toss
down
it
and
home.
Dunk. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Or just get on your tippy toes.
Oop. That's demoralizing for the defender when you don't even have to jump. You just
like
reach up. And
the old George Mirosan was like 7'6". George Mirosan would like hang out on the nets during timeouts.
Yeah.
Holding the nets. You're like, why aren't you dunking every play? You are a Goliath out there.
Well, there were definitely flashes throughout summer league where it looked like Ayton couldn't be stopped. And yet, I don't know, yesterday was probably his most uneven performance of the summer league. I mean, yeah, I guess
even
the
more
first
so,
one.
Well, the first one
you understood why.
You understood why. It was his first game. They were double teaming him, which nobody was expecting. So it was a bit of awkwardness. But you've gotten through. Then the next two games, you have nice double doubles, and then you struggle to get a single double.
Okay, so a single double
statistic
almost got a single double. Maybe he finished with 10-6. Let's
That was 10-9. Just six defensive rebounds.
Six defensive. Okay, so 10. So almost a double double.
Almost.
Which is the perfect segue to what I was going to ask you. If he's going to be more than this, so don't. I don't want all the angry Suns fans to say. I'm just going to say DeAndre Ayton's a 12-10 guy because I'm not saying that. But I don't just want double doubles from DeAndre Ayton. I mean, that's so broad. Even the other day when he had 17-13. That's fine. That I want that to be his floor.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying opening night of the NBA season. 17-13, that's fine. You add that to your team, you're getting that consistently every night. You just made your team a lot better, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But they used the number one pick on him. So I think it's fair that we're all hoping when he starts to really take off, and that doesn't even necessarily have to be this season, but by the end of this season, I want to see him routinely putting up 20-plus points and 10-plus rebounds. I think that that's very reasonable for the number one overall pick in the draft, who looks like that. And I say that expecting that he will do it. It's not like I'm watching a couple summer league games and saying, well, he can't do it. But I don't want to make a big deal out of double-doubles because I'm fine if Dragan Bender is getting me double-doubles, not DeAndre Ayton.
No, DeAndre Ayton has to be, he has to be a scoring threat for you.
Yeah.
To not necessarily like he has to be Devin Booker scoring threat, but he need like you said, he needs to be in the 20s. He does, or like 19. He needs to be like right there. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's the only team number I think I could accept from him. But yeah, he needs to be that consistent performer. He needs to be the guy, like you said, he needs to be the number 2-3 scorer on this team this season coming up.
So to put it in perspective, and I don't expect him to be Anthony Davis. I don't know that anybody expects that. That's one of the four or five best players in the NBA. But
and you can't grow that type of unibrow.
No, I mean, you'd have to paint it on, I would imagine.
Yeah. Use a little shellac to get it to
It seems uncomfortable together. Running up and down the floor with shellac on your face.
Yeah, that or it's like a Beijing. Do you know what a Beijing is?
No.
Okay, we're not even going to get into that. That's cool. A whole other.
All right.
That's a podcast.
That's
anyways.
That's the deleted scenes of the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, to put it in perspective, Anthony Davis averaged 28 points and change, and 11 and change rebounds this season. So I'm not expecting that, and I'm certainly not expecting it this first season, but I do kind of wonder what people's expectations are stats-wise for DeAndre Ayton. And now he's on the Suns. You don't have to panic that they're going to take somebody else in the draft. We've seen a few summer league games. You know, this is basically a workout for him. He's learning things. You hear his comments after the games. He's clearly approaching this as a process, as he should in the summer league. But now what are your realistic expectations? I don't need to hear that he's Hakeem and he's David Robinson and he's Shaq and he's Wilt all rolled into one.
Just
give me realistic stuff.
Yeah, give me just a comp. I'll take the numbers. I don't need the person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I like you said, I don't need Hakeem. I don't need Shaq. I don't need Dave.
I can't expect them all rolled into one.
No, you can't expect that because all three of those guys are top 50 all-time players. So what are numbers that you would be acceptable with by this time, you know, going in next year when we're talking about this next year during the break? Like, hey, you know what? DeAndre Ayton, man, solid year. He did blank, blank, and blank.
I didn't expect it to come up this way, although I'm not really surprised, I guess. But we've come full circle.
Yeah.
I'll take 21 and 12, and that's exactly what Karl Anthony Towns put up last year. So that's fine. If he's Karl Anthony Towns, that I'm 100% fine with
technically,
that.
You could get that next free agency.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd have to pay him. I mean, I do understand there's the difference of with DeAndre Ayton, you're saving some money for a while and it gives you some flexibility. But Karl Anthony Towns was number one overall pick 3 years ago, and he's performed like a number one overall pick. And if DeAndre Ayton wants to give the Suns 21 and 12,
and look at the look at his career number. So that was actually a down year for him, point scoring.
A little.
Well, but his career is 21.6, and he averaged 21.3 this year.
Yeah.
So that means he averaged 22 plus,
but that's
previous 2 years.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't expect the math this early in the show.
Yeah. You know. Once again,
are you a math major?
It flares. No. And math is just comes naturally to me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I have a list here of the top 10 standout players from the summer league.
Okay. Let's hear them.
Seems a little early since the summer league's not over, but I'm not going to read you. Jaren Jackson Jr. is number one. John Collins of Atlanta is number two, and then number three, DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah.
So I think he made an impression in limited games, and then they still have the game against the Spurs today. But I think that's where my expectation is. And he doesn't have to be at 21 and 12 as a rookie. I mean, that might be a bit much to ask.
21 and 10?
Yeah, or even like 18, 19 and 10. You just...
And like two and a half blocks. I think that's realistic.
Yeah, it'd be nice to get the block numbers up. You just when you see him play and you see some of the specific sequences on the floor and you're just like this. There's going to be nights where this is so it looks so easy to him. There's going to be teams that the Suns play where he's just going to have a field day. The question is, how quickly will he get to the point where he can consistently do that?
And can he adapt to the demands of a full NBA schedule?
Yeah, that's definitely something that...
Because four quarters versus two halves is totally different conditioning, and the length of the schedule is completely different, and you're playing all across the country. Whereas, you know, in college, you're playing in a region more often than not. And, you know...
In a pretty weak region last year, as much as I love the Pac-12, that was some bad basketball.
That was some bad basketball. So he's going to have to really grow up this year and do it on the fly in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And I think he has the capacity to do it, and he has the mental toughness to do it. But it's going to be the how's that physical toll on him, and how will that affect the mental as the season progresses when you get 40, 50 games into the season?
Seems like he's approaching it the right way. Yesterday was disappointing across the board for the Suns, but whatever. They still got one more game, and then you get ready for the regular season.
Mikal Bridges scored.
He did.
Right spot. You
he
wanted
did.
To see him score.
I did. I mean, Elliot Kobo got hurt. Josh Jackson didn't play. These are minor things, I would assume.
Davon Reed.
Yeah, Davon Reed.
Another good game.
And Shaq Harrison.
And Shaq Harrison, two leaders.
Trying to make sure they have jobs in the NBA next year. And I thought Shaq Harrison was pretty impressive through the entire summer league so far. Coming up, do the D-backs need a player like Manny Machado to make the playoffs? And is the front office willing to go all in to get him? We'll discuss that next. Luke Lipinski, Max Starks, in for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. You played this, and I did not recognize it. Now I feel like I need to wait for it to hit the actual song.
Yeah, you got to. Because, this song ties into the next intro music.
See, I don't think I know all the words to this song. You may just have to tell people what this is. I mean, I know now.
Yeah, it's Billy Ocean Loverboy. This is actually on my iPhone, and it's in rotation of my songs I listen to.
Does not shock me.
Yeah, it doesn't. It shouldn't. To see my phone music list, you'd be like, "Who are you?"
You showed me part of it the other day, and it was all over the place.
It is. I just love music.
Anytime you can make that jump from 2 Chainz to Charlie Puth.
Sorry. Go ahead. Proceed.
No, don't
proceed.
Apologize. Let the music speak through you. Don't let us get in the way. Just do this radio show over here. It's not a big deal. If you want to sing along to Billy Ocean, I'm not going to stop you.
I'll just cut my microphone off now.
No. You turn that up is what you should be doing.
Turn the volume to 11.
I want to try and get like a second of Manny Machado talking here. Yeah. Only because we teased it. That's the only reason. But before I do that, I do research like once a show. Okay. I found a way to pull up the Diamondbacks pitching stats for the last week.
Okay.
So that is...
How did you find that?
Well, if I told you that, then everybody would have these stats.
Hey, that's true. The magic of radio. Yeah.
So that goes back to the game before San Diego that they won 3-1. So they're 3-3 in this stretch. This is only 6 games.
Okay.
And actually, it doesn't even take into account last Thursday and last Wednesday, which somewhere in there is when Hirano gave up. Yeah, Wednesday is when Hirano finally gave up a run. He gave up a run against St. Louis, and that seems to be when the Diamondbacks' bullpen just completely imploded. Fernando Salas had a couple bad games that aren't included in here, but that's just go ahead and assume Fernando Salas had bad games because you should be doing that anyway. If you look at the ERA just of Diamondbacks pitchers in the last week, Jorge De La Rosa is right around 17. Yoshi Hirano, who has been the Diamondbacks' most consistent pitcher this year, 15.4. Robbie Ray, 5.59. Randall Delgado, 5.40. Shelby Miller, 45, but that's a little skewed. Yeah,
just a smidge, right?
Even Corbin and Greinke both over 4. Bradley, right around 3, which is fine, but his role is to come in and shut it down for one inning. This is only a week. I get that. Zach Godley, by the way, was pitching tonight, 1.29, so maybe he's the right guy for the job. But it just sort of amplifies how shaky the pitching has been in the last week. The only guys that have just come in and just gotten outs and not given up runs are TJ McFarland, who pitched, he didn't pitch that well the other day. But
no, he didn't.
He didn't pitch for very long. Brad Boxberger's been pitching good in the last week. That's about it. And Andrew Chafin. So
you didn't throw in Avila.
That's a good point.
He technically is a part of the bullpen now.
He's way at the top of the list. So
yeah.
We already know they're going to address the bullpen. I don't think that's much of a secret. It sounds like they want to address starting pitching. It doesn't sound like they're going to go after... Well, it doesn't sound like they're going to get Manny Machado.
Yeah.
Except if you look around the internet and you go to random baseball sites, there's a lot of people out there who still have the Diamondbacks. It seems to be the Diamondbacks, the Dodgers, the Brewers, and the Yankees. Some sort of combination depending where you go. as the front runners. And
yeah.
I saw like two or three different sites last night that still had the Diamondbacks as either the front runner or like the co-front runner with the Brewers.
Which is crazy to me. But because what is there? Like that you don't have to, and you still have to address like meaningful pitching. Like you need a starting pitcher. You're going to, you know, potentially you're going to need also a reliever. And more specifically, if you read some other size, a left-handed reliever. So, you know, what can they offer up to get Manny Machado if you're in the race with the Dodgers, the Yankees, and the Brewers?
I don't know.
In your
I really
farm
don't.
Right now.
Yeah, I mean, your best pieces are hurt. We talked about this yesterday. And honestly, after we talked to Mike Hazen on Wednesday, I kind of felt like that was that. You know,
yeah.
the way he said position players aren't necessarily a point of emphasis right now, not necessarily the focal point of trying to make trades. And, you know, for what you just said, they have to address pitching at this point anyway. You're already thin in the prospect pool. So what are you giving up?
Yeah, because you can't bring anybody up right now. There's nobody to bring up so that you could at least say, hey, we could kind of cover here, you know, bring a minor leaguer up to do the relieve duty. And then, you know, we can just search for a starting pitcher and possibly pick up a position player, but there's nothing in that. So you have to literally go for those two pitching spots and then think about a position player.
Got two questions here for you, okay? First of all.
Okay.
You think the buzz around this team this summer is the same as it was last year? There's no right answer.
I think the buzz was higher because they actually made the playoffs, and we were expecting that this year as opposed to last year.
Yeah, I mean their record
is kind of a jump.
Their record's not bad this year by any means. They're half game out of first place, but the last year they went into the break at 53-36. What are they, 51-43 right now? It's not like there's no interest. It's not that.
Yeah,
but there's just not the same. I don't know.
Fire?
I don't know if there's that belief locally that this is truly a World Series team. Now, I don't know if it's because everybody's caught up with the Suns, with DeAndre Ayton, and that pick just happening a couple weeks ago, and then, you know, Summer League or whatever, and the Cardinals. There's such a wide range of possible outcomes for the Cardinals. And maybe it's because it's 110 degrees at 7 in the morning.
Your brain's frying a little bit.
But I think it does sort of speak to what you said of last year it was this out of nowhere, look at this team just stealing everybody's attention and captivating the crowds at Chase Field. And now this year, it's kind of like, okay, we were supposed to be good this year. So
yeah, this was the year we're supposed to be good. So we're now expecting it. Last year was a gift. This year, this is expected. This is what's supposed to be on the menu. This isn't a special.
And the reason I ask is I wonder if, you know, if Diamondbacks fans believe this truly is a World Series contender, you want Manny Machado, don't you? You really, shouldn't you be pushing? You should be pushing all in to get him.
You should be pushing all in. But here's the question. What do you have to give it all in? Because given the state of your team in the last 5 days, really, I mean, last 5 days, you were looking good. 5 days ago, and we were having this conversation, be like, ah, yeah, we can do that. I think there's enough there, but we're 5 days later. Two pitchers on the DL, your top two farm prospects are injured, and you're struggling offensively.
This is Bob Nightingale, who was on with us yesterday, and he reemphasized that this team's priority right now is it's on the mound.
I think pitching. Obviously, the bullpen is kind of in disarray right now, you know, especially after what happened last night. Shows you how much trouble they're in. I would think they look for a starter and a reliever.
And then this is Derek Hall also on yesterday, who is not directly addressing Manny Machado rumors, but with the position players pretty much all healthy now, he had this to say.
I mean, these guys, it's nice to have them all back. They all kind of came back at the same time. Now we just have to get them back in a groove. You know, it's certainly nice to have the options of Souza. You know, we'll get Dyson back here soon. We got AJ back. It completely changed our outfield. And it changes that lineup. It lengthens it. It gives us a lot of power as well, a lot of speed. So I think it's good for us, and it doesn't put as much pressure on you around the trade deadline to necessarily do anything, because this lineup is a strong one. If we think we can get better and we're going to improve our team, we're definitely going to do it.
If they don't get Machado, which I think you and I are on the same page, probably a long shot at this point. And not that it's impossible, but it's just – it's not what people nationally are saying, where they have the Diamondbacks as the front runners. That can't be the case. Doesn't mean they won't get him, but there's too many other teams with more to offer. If they're not going to get him, they need Jake Lamb hitting better than 234.
Yeah, definitely. You need Jake Lamb to pick his game up. AJ Pollock has continued to be solid. And then, like you said, Peralta, just do what Peralta's been doing. And then Goldschmidt, stay as Goldie that we've seen since June 1st. And don't get the early on, the May Goldie.
Yeah, just be the Goldschmidt we've seen for all but like 2 months of your career. They just happen to be within the last couple months. The Summer Suns were surrounded by expectations, so now that they lost in the first round, are we disappointed? Luke Lipinski, Max Starks, in for Doug and Wolf on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.